some announcements, and then we'll have a regular prelude, and then we'll do a short little prelude. This service is...
Like I said, a work in progress.
So, can I play 2 minutes? Or just one?
Yeah. Let me do some announcements, and then...
I forgot to put my ears in.
Okay, put your ears in. I forgot to turn this on.
Okay. Oh, there we are. Okay. 8:15. Announcements. We're going to have a prelude in a minute, which we're going to try to do as gathering music. When somebody's... when I'm done with the announcements. How about that? Yeah, there you go. Okay. The announcements are, there will be a board meeting tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the boardroom. You need to wear a mask. And the commissions, some of them are meeting tomorrow. I believe Outreach's missions is meeting tomorrow. So is the Worship Commission is meeting tomorrow, perhaps here in the sanctuary. And they're going to talk about worship on the mountain. So if you'd like to help with that, you are invited to come to their meeting tomorrow at 7. Pretty much that's all I got. Any other announcements that I've forgotten? Can you think of anything? Okay, here's the other announcement. Use sunscreen when you go out. It's going to be hot, like, you know, it has been hot. So don't forget your sunscreen. And now we'll hear a prelude from Donna. Thank you. Thank you. Our opening hymn is the same one we did last week because we did it so well. Would you please stand for our opening hymn, All People That on Earth Do Dwell?
Just one verse?
Do we have just one verse of this?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Yes. Yes, one verse. Let's see. Our prayer concerns, our joys and concerns for this day are, Mike Ward is doing well. Did I announce this last week? He will have surgery scheduled in 4 to 6 weeks, and Mike will have surgery scheduled in 4 to 6 weeks, and he is continuing with chemotherapy because the chemotherapy that he has been on has done so well, and he has done so well with it, that they're going to proceed with the surgery, and so he's ecstatic about that. And also his sister's in town, so that's a nice thing for him. Let's see, Cal and Monica, we want to remember them. Ranchers, I've been asked to pray for rain for the ranchers. So ranchers are having a bit of a time right now with the lack of rain. So that would be a good thing for all of us to pray for. Rita's great-granddaughter has not left for Djibouti yet, but it's still in the plans for her to go. Her name is Brittany Bartz, so please keep her in your prayers. Paul visited with, I'm looking over here, that's where Paul sits. Paul visited with Ed Struby this week outside and had a really nice visit, so that was very nice. And have any of you seen the Mountain Plaza commercial on TV where they're thanking first responders and healthcare workers? Well, Susie's right in the middle of it. So pay attention and watch for Susie as she says thank you to all of those folks. Let's see. Are there other joys and concerns to share this morning? Let's join together in prayer. O fathomless mystery, our lives unfold like the grass of the field. We flourish and we fade, the shape and end of our own lives as a great mystery to us, as you are, O God. For we cannot know tomorrow or even the events of this day's fulfillments. Yet the passing of time brings all things new. And so we gather this morning, the body of Christ, crying out our thanks to you for all good gifts through which you have visited your people. We thank you for the lives of those who have gone before us here and for the ones that will come after. And on this day of praise, O God, we thank you that the one whom you called and kept and blessed and sent to us has begun a good work in us. We confess, O Holy One, that in this passage of our life together we feel caught between exile and pilgrimage. Yet you call the leaven of your word in us to rise. You call us closer to your mystery. In you, the source of strength, we wait now, hopeful that we might sustain one another, united in spirit, looking after others' interests as we do our own, recognizing the child of God in ourselves and in others. Let us be children of God in everything we do. We remember those separated from us for the refreshment of vacation, Bless them in their journey that they may return to us restored. We remember those separated from us this morning by illness, by COVID-19, by age. Be a lamp unto our feet, O God, as we seek them out. We speak to you, desiring that our lives be a prayer. Hear our silent longings and thanksgivings. In our silence, we wait for you, O God. Amen. Oh, yeah, I forgot that.
It says.
Yeah, I forgot that. So we'll do that right now. Will you join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The wrong bulletin on top. Sorry about that. Special music today is Kathy Winders. Kathy, thank you.
Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. You who come to me shall not hunger. You who believe in me shall never thirst." In company with all who hunger for spiritual food, we come to this table to know the risen Christ in the sharing of this life-giving meal.
And on the night before he died, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after they were done eating, he took a cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant which is for you. As often as you drink this, remember me."
Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks for this bread and for this wine of the Spirit that we share together in the moments of communion. We remember Jesus, our Savior, who died on the cross, and we ask that your Spirit may guide us as we pray. Help us, O God, in the rededication of our lives to your service and to our witness in daily living throughout this coming week. Amen. Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up treasure in heaven, for where your but lay up treasure in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Heart and treasures, they go together. These things in which we invest will love with passion. This is true of our giving to God and this church. So let us express our love of God with our treasure and also bind our hearts closer to God and to God's kingdom. We'll now receive our Lord's offering. Heavenly Father, accept these treasures we offer you in expressing the love and devotion of our lives and daily work. Use them, we pray, to bind our hearts together and to one another in this family of God. We dedicate these gifts. Amen.
Our first lesson this morning is Psalm 122. A Song of Ascents. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones for judgment were set up, and the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." And the second lesson comes from Colossians. Go eat popcorn. Corn. Colossians. The end of those little epistles. Colossians chapter 3. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It was an exciting day, and it was a long time in coming. They had been waiting for this particular day to arrive since their own beginnings as a congregation back in 1966. 41 years was a long time to wait, but wait they did, and glad they were. She came to them from New York City, where she had attended seminary. And after completing her 5-year graduate program, she stayed for a time with the congregation she served through seminary. But then God called her to a new place to share her gifts with a new people. And the people were ready to receive her and the gifts she would bring. In 2007, Irina Altschul became the first invested, we would say ordained, cantor for the Northern Virginia Hebrew congregation. In the Reformed tradition, of which my sister's synagogue is a part, the Northern Virginia Hebrew congregation, the cantor is not just a singer with a pretty voice. The cantor is an ordained clergy person and an important part of the spiritual leadership of the congregation. The role of the cantor is to lead worship and liturgy to provide pastoral care, to officiate at life cycle events, such as newborn rituals, bar and bat mitzvahs, and naming ceremonies, which is where I met Cantor Irina. To teach adults and children to develop interpersonal skills and to create and to present cultural programs appropriate to Jewish life. There's more to being a cantor than singing in worship. But in the Jewish tradition, through the work of the cantor, all of life is surrounded, all of life is expressed through sacred song, particularly in worship. The Hebrew word for cantor is chazan, which means to have vision. The chazan provides the vision for people praying in worship. This is what the psalmist knew. The vision for people praying in worship in Israel is found right here. The Psalter, the Book of Psalms, is known to many as the hymn book of ancient Israel. We read the words of its pages and we forget that we are reading hymn lyrics. And lyrics are only half the picture. Lyrics, as beautiful and meaningful as they are still incomplete without their music. The Psalter, as we have said, is a book of poems, of songs, prayers, and hymns that were written in lines or measures that could be sung or chanted in rhythm. And some of the rhythm, the rhyme, and the meter of the Psalms, some of the parallelisms, the word plays, the call and response of the poetry, some of that gets lost in translation, as we'll see in just a little bit. However, although the music is lost, some of the musical notation introduction is left. Some of the psalms are to be accompanied by string instruments or flutes. You'll see that at the beginning of each psalm. Some have retained the name of the tune or the melody, although that melody has been lost. Some of the songs were sung by particular temple singers or musicians, such as Asaph. Asaph and his kindred was one of the great families of singers and musicians in Jerusalem during the time of David. He is mentioned in Chronicles as being one of the chief singers, and 12 psalms bear his name, which probably means these psalms were performed by the group of singers, the guild of singers bearing his name. Today, here, Donna, Kathy, Virginia, and Elaine are going to be our Asaph, our Chazan, for just a little bit. For they stand in the same tradition as those who lead us and open us to the presence of God, those who proclaim our faith through sacred music, and they're going to assist us as we share a few psalms from our hymnal today that you may not have known were there. In the words and the music of our hymns, we learn theology. It's not just Sunday school or in sermons that we learn about Scripture, about who God is, about who Jesus is, about who we are as God's people, and who we are as followers of Jesus. We may not realize it, but much of our sacred learning comes from the music we hear and sing in worship. You can think about that for a minute. Think about your favorite hymns, the words and the voices you hear singing them, and what that means to you, and what that has taught you over the years. Perhaps you've had to relearn something because of that. That happens too. But we are going to move along, and first we're going to start with Psalm 104. Ready? Hold on. Oh, yeah. Psalm 104 is a hymn that sings praise to Yahweh, the Creator. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You did set the earth on its foundation so that it should never be shaken. You have made the moon to mark the seasons, the sun to know its time for setting. When you sent forth your spirit, they are created, and you renewed the face of the ground. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. In our hymnal, this is number 64, we sing your mighty power, O God. Psalm 9 and 10 are one psalm in the Greek Old Testament, which is called the Septuagint. And it is a song of individual complaint and lament. Here, instructions are given to the music leader. Perhaps it is a specific tune. The verses here are paired with spaces. There's a pause between each pair of verses. That's because in the Hebrew poetry of the lyric, it's an acrostic, which is lost in translation. The first verse begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. The third verse begins with the second letter, Bet. And so on. The fifth verse begins with the third letter of the alphabet, Gimel. And the seventh verse begins with the fourth letter, Dalet, and so on. It was a teaching tool to be used in synagogue, in worship. Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked persecute the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes they have devised. For the wicked boast of the desires of their heart. Those greedy for gain curse and renounce the Lord. Their mouths are filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. In hiding places, they murder the innocent. They lurk in secret like a lion in its covert. They lurk that they may seize the poor. They think in their heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. God will never see it. Rise up, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand and do not forget the oppressed. In our hymnal, number 671, Why Stand So Far Away, My God, is how we sing Psalm 9 and 10. In the words, you can hear the lament. Psalm 42 has a note to the leader. This is a type of tune for a guild of temple singers. Why are you cast down, O my soul, is the refrain of the song we call Psalm 42 and 43. Together, these psalms give voice to the deepest desire of God's people across the ages. It is an individual prayer for help by one who is cut off from the presence of God and by oppressed enemies. Our longing and our hope is in God alone, and because many psalms were written to be read and sung by one side and then the other, involving all the people of the congregation, there is a sheet underneath the gloves on that little stool right behind you, Keith, to your right, that we all need. that, yes, I forgot about. Because it would be good to have the responsive reading to do a responsive reading. This is a responsive reading from our hymnal of Psalm 42. I will tell you, as Keith is passing those out, that the music to this was written by Don Saliers. He is a retired worship professor at Candler School of Theology at Emory University in Atlanta. And if any of you know the Indigo Girls, anybody? Anybody? Indigo Girls? Don's the father of Emily Saliers, who is half of the Indigo Girls. May I have one? Thank you so much. I didn't get you one, Donna. Sorry. Yeah, I even got here early today. Ooh. So, responsive reading, Psalm 42. The melody, the response, the sung response is at the bottom. As the deer longs for the water brook, so my soul yearns for you. The music sounds like yearning. And we are going to do this responsively. Kathy will play it. Virginia and Elaine will sing the response. And if you will read the bold print, I will read the unbold print. So let's begin with the response, please. As a deer longs for flowing streams,
so my soul longs for you, O God.
My soul thirsts for God, for the living God.
When shall I come and behold the face of God?
My tears have been my food day and night.
While people say to me continually, where is your God?
These things I remember as I pour out my soul.
How I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God.
With glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving,
a multitude keeping festival.
Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? My soul is cast down within me.
Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and Mount Mizar.
Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts.
All your waves and your billows have gone over me.
By day you command your steadfast love, and at night your song is with me.
A prayer to the God.
I say to God, my rock,
why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk mournfully because the enemy oppresses me?
As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me.
While they say to me continually, where is your God?
Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?
As the deer longs for the water brook, so
Psalm 90, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, is the opening prayer of Book 4 of the Psalter. It is a community lament and the only psalm attributed to Moses. It's often compared to Isaiah 40, as they both speak to the fleeting nature of human life and the eternity of God. It's also been compared to Ecclesiastes 3 and 5, as both these texts reflect on the relationship between God, mortals, and time. This is a communal prayer used in worship, acknowledging our failings, and it is a petition for wisdom, a petition for a wise heart. I've included this today because for us, it continues to be one of the most beloved hymns in the English language. Isaac Watts is often referred to as the father of English hymnody. He was born in 1674 in Southampton, England. He was the youngest of 9 children. His father was a deacon in a dissenting congregational church at the time, and when Isaac was born, his father was in prison for his nonconformist religious beliefs. Because his own hymn writing was a departure from the traditions of the day, which was to simply use the Psalms, Isaac was considered a radical in his time. Anybody have any idea what hymn we're getting to? O God, our help in ages past is Isaac Watts' paraphrase and commentary of Psalm 90. Originally, he wrote 9 verses to this, and we don't sing them all. The tune was composed in 1708 by Dr. William Croft, who was a graduate of Oxford University and organist at the Church of St. Anne in London. And so we are all, if you would please stand. This is going to serve as our closing hymn today. We're going to stand and sing, O God, our help in ages past, which is Psalm 90.
Earth received its rain.
Isaac Watts originally wrote it, that it was "Our God, our help in ages past." But then John Wesley came along later and changed it to "O God, our help in ages past." So there you go. Fun fact to know and tell. See, we learn scripture, we learn about who God is, and we learn authors' theological viewpoints when we sing hymns in church. So there you are. Have a good week. Stay cool. Don't forget your sunscreen, or just stay inside. And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as you go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
My dermatologist said you can stay out in the sun for 15 minutes and get vitamin D.
There you go.
Yeah. Oops.